KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. I'm Eddie Hughes, joined in studio, as always, by our producer, Kevin Kirsten. Kevin, on a bit of a hot streak lately with all the guests you've been lining up for us the past few weeks. We had, you know, everyone from Bulldog football alum Nico Mata a few weeks ago to shot blocker extraordinaire Bago Fosdávalos last week. Now today, 940 ESPN radio play-by-play voice of the Bulldogs, Paul Leffler. Paul, welcome to the KFSR studio.
Hey, thanks for having me. And I know I couldn't block Nico, but I think I might be able to get Bago once or twice. And haven't tested that theory.
Have you told her that yet?
No, but she'd just smile and laugh, so it'd be fine.
That's true. That's her personality, exactly. But is this your first time in the KFSR studio?
No, I've been in here, and it looks as nice as it did the last time. I'm still trying to figure out what happened to all the radio carts that used to be on this wall over here, because the holder is still there. That cabinet looks great, but I don't see any carts anymore. Yeah. What year is this?
I guess they're no longer needed. I don't know.
I guess it's the 21st century. My bad.
Paul, I know you're used to being the one asking the questions, so this will be a little bit different, but you know, you host all the weekly coaches shows for Fresno State, facilitate press conferences from time to time. In the meantime, we've got plenty with you, starting with today's game, 3 p.m. versus New Mexico at the Save Mart Center, Fresno State basketball. It's student night. We're calling it the biggest game of the year. We're asking students to unleash the dog pound and break that student section attendance record. There's going to be thousands of T-shirts and tacos given away, some free Pepsis. One lucky student will win a scholarship. Another will win an Apple Watch. As always, students can attend the game for free and bring one guest. I'm expecting a large turnout for this one and a buzzing atmosphere. How about you, Paul?
Yeah, and I'm putting the over-under on T-shirts that have a taco and a Pepsi on them at about 50 or so. But, I mean, when you're giving away free T-shirts, free tacos, and free Pepsis, and you get a free ticket, and you get your friend in free, if you're a Fresno State student, how do you say no to that? And here's the thing for me, Eddie. Every good college basketball atmosphere has a huge student section. I mean, whether you're talking about Syracuse, where I went, where we got, as students, we got to sit right up close and we're watching, you know, Allen Iverson come in from Georgetown, go against the Syracuse team that played in the Final Four, and it's electric in there. So you look at like Grand Canyon right now, a school no one's ever heard of. They've got a rockin' student section.
Thunder Dan.
That's it. I mean, when you get student sections really pumped up and get that volume up as far as the number of students in there, it adds an electricity to an arena that you just don't have without it. And, you know, for a Fresno State team that needs to make a run right now, having the place packed with students today, I think that's going to make a huge difference.
It's a huge difference. We've seen it here at Fresno State, too, back in the day, the Tarkanian years, when students had to enter a lottery just to be able to buy student season tickets. Now they're free. You get a guest free. I really don't know how you say no. Like you said, what's the downside to that?
Especially when you have this exciting a team to watch. And every one of the players today is going to wear a black jersey that just says student on the back. You know, it doesn't say Russo, it doesn't say Taylor, it says student. And there's some solidarity with the rest of the students to say, hey, we see you in class, we have to go through the same things you do, we're all in this together. And, you know, if you haven't watched this team up close, I think you're missing out on some guys who are really overachievers. And isn't that what makes Fresno State great, period, across the board, whether it's sports or anything else? It's the people that get counted out that step up and perform at a great level. And that's what Deshaun Taylor's doing right now for this team. And I think the whole team is kind of feeding off that. So I'm really excited about this opportunity for the Dogs today.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is a team for years now that's been a lot of fun to watch. They've got athletic guys, high-flying guys. They play an exciting brand of basketball. I always enjoy the games. And, you know, all they're really missing is that night-after-night atmosphere that the crowd here can bring. And we saw it a couple weeks ago in the San Diego State game when they had a crowd that was buzzing all night long. We saw it on Wednesday night against San Jose State with the student section for Greek night that, you know, they turned out pretty well and they were loud and made a difference in that second half. So I hope we get back to that. I hope we see some of that today. You alluded a little bit to the uniforms they'll wear tonight, those special black Nike uniforms saying student on the back. One thing I've been wondering, I got to ask you, I know you can recognize these guys by their faces, but are we going to hear a little play-by-play where you're playing with that, you know, student inbounds the ball to student, student hits a three, student dishes inside? How would that work out for your radio audience?
Yeah, I sure hope that doesn't happen. I mean, and really, how hard is it, Eddie? You got five guys on each team at one time. You should be able to tell them apart, right? You shouldn't have to read the name on the back. But, you know, you bring up a good point. Maybe I should be talking about what these guys are majoring in or the guys that have already graduated, what their degrees are in. Since it is student night, maybe we should pay a little more attention to the student aspect of these student athletes.
Absolutely. It's a great way not just to recognize that they are student athletes. You know, there's that hyphenated part of their name that sometimes gets forgotten in college sports. The student comes before the athlete. But also, it's a great way to recognize the entire Fresno State student population. And I think that's what the university is aiming to do with trying to break the record, having all these giveaways and wanting everyone to show up. Here's a nod to you and thanks for being there for us. Type of recognition for that student section crowd.
And I think the student athletes are excited about it, the players. They love the student section. They love the fans, period. And they do. They have classes with some of these guys. You have some phenomenal students on this team. I mean, Deshaun Taylor's a guy who just kills it in the classroom. Sam Bittner told me he has never gotten a grade in his life less than an A. And I said, what about A minuses? He says, oh, yeah, I've gotten a few of those. I said, you know, when I went to college, we got marked down on our GPA for A minuses. Like, oh, yeah, we don't do that here. I'm thankful for that.
But I mean, I am as well.
You got some really smart guys on this team.
All jokes aside, it's a big game, not just for the festivities, but it's a huge game for the Mountain West standings. The Bulldogs right now find themselves in sixth place, needing to make up a half game in these final four games of the season to finish top five in the Mountain West and earn that coveted first round bye in the Mountain West tournament in March. New Mexico sits in fourth, and if the Dogs are going to pass anyone in the standings, it's probably going to be either New Mexico or San Diego State, those closest teams to them.
Exactly. And a lot of people say, well, you know, there's no way Fresno State's going to go down and win at Viejas Arena on Wednesday just because the Bulldogs never have since joining the Mountain West. I say I think they're going to have a shot. They lost in overtime there last year. The San Diego State team doesn't have as much punch.
With a huge foul discrepancy last year.
Don't tell me that, Eddie. I'm trying to cut down on talking about the officials. No, but you think about this New Mexico game. Fresno State's two games behind New Mexico right now. You get a win today, you're a game behind, and really you'd have the tie break because you split the season series, but what Fresno State's done against Boise State and Nevada and Colorado State is going to give the Bulldogs that edge in the tiebreaker. So if they can just catch New Mexico, I think they'll be seated ahead of New Mexico, and they might even have a better shot at doing that than passing the Aztecs.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've looked at those upcoming schedules yet. You probably have, but New Mexico may have the toughest remaining schedule with a game at Fresno State. They've got Colorado State still at Wyoming, and then San Diego State to close it out. They could be looking at three or four more losses if things don't go right for them down the stretch.
And that's what's so crazy about this conference. Any game can go any way. I mean, Air Force and UNLV at the bottom of the standings, and San Jose State for most of the year down there. I mean, the Spartans have proven they can beat anybody in this league, and the teams at the top are certainly vulnerable. So, you know, the upshot of that for me is no matter where Fresno State ends up seated, that Mountain West tournament in Las Vegas is just going to be absolutely insane.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's got to be one of the best conference tournaments this year as far as just competitiveness across the board. And you mentioned Fresno State's game later this week at Viejas Arena against San Diego State. We know the Dogs really need to win those final two home games today against New Mexico and UNLV later on, but they probably have to at least split on the road at San Diego State and Boise State. And San Diego State just a half game ahead of the Dogs in the standings. Do you think it's already a position where Fresno State's going to have to win that game at San Diego State to get that bye?
It very well could come down to that. And I think just for your confidence, you want to say you've beaten every team in the league.
And the tiebreaker.
Exactly. And you've beaten San Diego State the last 2 years at home, but not on the road and came oh so close. Cesar Guerrero hit that miracle shot last year to put it in overtime. You know, I think they're going to go in with a different mindset. With Colin Russo back, they're a little different team. The way Deshaun Taylor has played in these eight games as a starter, I mean, he could be the MVP of the league if you project that over the whole season. So they certainly are going to go into that game with a chance, but the reality is, since joining the Mountain West, Fresno State hasn't won in San Diego or in Boise. So the prospect of winning in at least one or even two is a little daunting, but you know, I think this team feeds off that. You tell them what they can't do, or you raise the bar for them, they perform. If you look at what they've done this year, they've played their best against the top teams in the league and their worst against the worst teams in the league. So maybe those two road games are going to bring out the best in the Bulldogs.
Yeah, and we saw it a little bit last year where the Dogs had that loss at San Jose State and suddenly just reeled off a bunch of wins down the stretch, took it all the way into the postseason, made that great run to the NCAA tournament, as we all know about by now. But I don't think, you know, this position the Bulldogs are in right now, needing to win probably at least three games out of their last four, I don't think many people expected Fresno State to lose three straight to San Diego State, Wyoming, and Colorado State leading up to this. That's why they find themselves in that position, but they recovered nicely on Wednesday with the 18-point win over San Jose State. We've known all year this team was strong defensively. They have long, athletic guys who can disrupt their opponents. But looking at Jerron Hopkins in that second half, the defense he was playing, just getting on the ball, getting in his man's face, and turning turnovers into points, I'd never seen quite that tenacity and just effort from him all around, full-fledged for that amount of time. And I think it was kind of an eye-opener to, you know, a guy that we think is playing hard all the time actually has another gear he can take it to.
And if you heard Coach Terry afterwards, he said at some point this year he'd like to see that for 40 minutes. So he's not checking that box for Jerron just yet. He said there's a lot more to go. And I think that really is the only thing that holds Jerron Hopkins back is his own personal focus and intensity. Because when he turns it on, I mean, he can score at will. When he checks out for a possession, then sometimes you see momentum change in a game. But he's a big-time weapon, a big-time athlete. And I think when he's on, Paul Watson's better. When Russo's out there, you've got more space for a guy like Jamel Taylor to knock down some threes. And I think maybe that San Jose State game unlocked a little of the potential of this team to remind these guys, hey, if you play this way, nobody's going to beat you.
You think Deshaun Taylor's causing a little more of that intensity the way he's playing right now, just stepping up, and he took that quadruple overtime game on his back. It was him at the free throw line. It was him attacking the basket when they were sitting. Do you think they're watching what he's doing and he's kind of making them all realize, hey, we got to step it up. He's stepping up his game and we got to match his intensity. You think that's a little bit of part of it?
Without question. As Deshaun Taylor goes, so goes this team. He's the guy who sets the tone. His want to, as Coach Terry would say, his motor, his intensity. And I don't know if you guys know, this guy's not on scholarship. I mean, this guy came here as a transfer, not knowing if he'd ever get a scholarship. I think he will get one next year. But right now, you could make a case he's the top player in the league. And in that Wyoming game, as you mentioned, he did take the team on his back. What he's doing at the foul line right now, and Eddie, I know you've been watching this team for a long, long time. There's never been any Bulldog at the free throw line doing what Deshaun Taylor has done for the last five games.
Don't jinx it.
He doesn't care. He'll take it. He wants you to talk about it. 50 out of 52 over five games. Nobody in the country does that. That's almost impossible.
It's crazy. Sick.
It's like a trap shooter or something. Yeah. I mean, he's that accurate. And, you know, if that continues and he has the ball in his hands at the end of games, Fresno State will be tough to beat.
Yeah, the fun thing about Deshaun Taylor, too, is that if you watch him on the court, you see his facial expression change when he's ready. He's got that intense look where he's ready to buckle down on defense. He's ready to spark the other guys around him. Like you said, he legitimately has a case since he's been in the starting lineup as the top player in the Mountain West Conference. And I think that's saying a lot for a guy, like you said, not on scholarship right now, a guy who transferred in. Not a lot of fans were pointing to him as the key player on this team when the season began.
No, and he, you know, I think he was questioning early in the year whether he was even supposed to stay in this program. Wasn't getting the minutes that he wanted, wasn't performing offensively as well, wasn't hitting shots, but he stuck it out. You know, he trusted things, and I think he's become the leader of this team, and what you love about it is that he doesn't force things. I mean, he's scoring points without taking bad shots, without, you know, running into a triple team and trying to throw something up wild. He lets the game come to him. He sets up his teammates. And the dominoes that fall as a result, especially on the defensive end, the ball pressure that he applies helps other guys get steals and opportunities. And as long as, you know, he stays healthy and gets enough rest and is ready to go, I think Fresno State's capable of anything in Las Vegas.
And he's only a sophomore. Good news for the
Gotta
fans.
I love it.
Again, students, alumni, community members, you don't want to miss today's game. 3 p.m. at the Save Mart Center. The Bulldogs and Lobos will be squaring off an important game in the Mountain West standings. It'll be an energetic atmosphere with two of the conference's top teams. With all the Bulldogs' talent, all the depth that the Bulldogs have had, even with Caraccietto's injury, you go against a New Mexico team that's talented as well, that's got one of the other top players in the league in Elijah Brown, the son of former NBA coach Mike Brown. That'll be fun for fans to watch. But, Paul, what do you expect from both the crowd and the Bulldogs on the court this afternoon?
I can't wait for the crowd. I mean, I'm thinking back to the game earlier this year where the band came, the whole band. And you just feel that energy in the arena. And I think that's what the student section is going to deliver in this game today. The Bulldogs are feeling good after that win over San Jose State. They've wanted a rematch with New Mexico ever since losing the conference opener there when things got a little heated late. And Rodney Terry even interrupted the game to go back and forth verbally with a fan that was about 10 rows back. They don't like the Lobos. And here's the thing. I mean, Deshaun Taylor wasn't playing a lot then. He didn't play many minutes in that game. Neither did Bryson Williams. Both of those guys play a big role now. And that matchup of Elijah Brown and Deshaun Taylor, when he's on him, watch that. because Deshaun's as good an on-ball defender as there is in the league. Brown is as crafty at trying to make the appearance of contact and get himself to the line, even if there's not a foul. The officials have kind of scouted that, and they don't give it to him as much when he kicks the legs out and flops the head back. But he's going to do it. So how's that going to go? I mean, nobody's gotten Deshaun Taylor in foul trouble yet this year. Is Elijah Brown the guy that can do it? That changes everything. You know, I could go on and on, but I think it's going to be a real exciting matchup. And I'll give you one more player to watch on New Mexico who I think is going to be a pro someday. Going to be one of the guys in this conference you talk about the next couple of years. It's their freshman point guard, Harris. He's as fast as anybody in the league. We saw Terrell Brown's speed from San Jose State last time. I think Harris is even faster. And as the season goes on, he's getting a little more skill to go with that raw athleticism. So the Bulldogs will have to contain him and stay in front of him today, too.
Absolutely. One thing's for sure, the suspense is high. It's going to be a lot of fun out at the Save Mart Center. But switching gears a bit, we need to talk some Fresno State baseball. Opening the season this weekend. Four-game series, weather permitting, against Oregon. But on a personal note first, just tell us a little bit about yourself, Paul, and how you got into broadcasting. I know you're a Valley guy from Los Banos. You went to Syracuse, as you mentioned, and then ended up back in the Valley doing TV and eventually succeeding Bill Woodward as the voice of the Bulldogs. So just talk about your path and how you got into the broadcasting field.
It's a backdoor curve right there. Yeah. You didn't tell me that was coming. Well, I started when I was 12. I played every sport that they would let me. I loved sports. Played basketball and baseball throughout high school. Played a little club baseball in college and a lot of pickup basketball. I still do with a bunch of buddies. But they'd never let me play football. My grandpa was a doctor and treated too many injuries, so I wasn't allowed to play football. So long story short, when I was 12, I started announcing football games, you know, the PA announcer in Los Banos. And been doing it one way or the other ever since and have enjoyed it. And that's one of those things I look back and say, hey, I may have been upset with my parents at the time for not letting me play football, but they knew best, and God's plans are always better than mine.
You've been on the air for some huge moments in Fresno State lore already in your tenure in this position, but you know, there's the baseball national championship in 2008, the College World Series, the 2013 football season behind Derek Carr and Devontae Adams, and of course last year's Mountain West basketball championship. What's been the most fun part of the job for you and some of your personal favorite moments?
Tough question. 2008 was just unbelievable. It's still hard to believe. And now it's almost 10 years later. But what that team did from where they came to where they ended up and the way they did it, it's the stuff movies are made of. And in fact, there's a movie in the works. We'll see if that comes together here in the next few months. But that's just one of those stories that I think for any sports fan, for anybody facing challenges or long odds, that's a story that just pumps you up and inspires you. And to be there for it, to see what it meant to those guys, that's the only time, I'll tell you this, Eddie, that's the only time in all the games I've announced, thousands of games, that I've ever finished a game and felt like I played. I mean, I'm not trying to pretend I played, but I was that exhausted. I was that invested, I guess, and that drained afterwards that I really felt like, you know, that I had been out there competing. And I remember, you know, seeing Coach Batesel afterwards and the bear hug that he gave me. And I mean, he gives the best bear hugs in the world, you know, but I was surprised I breathed after that. And then you just feel how much it means to him and what that meant to this community. Hearing the stories of Bulldog fans and where they were following the game on TV or radio or whatever, and how much it meant to them. That was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of deal. But you mentioned some other names. You know, knowing Derek Carr when he was an 11-year-old kid and then seeing...
Yeah, you had him on TV before anybody knew who he was.
Because he called in to one of the postgame shows on the radio and was making a case for David. I said, I got to get this guy on TV. So yeah, we had him in the studio and with that little squeaky voice, you know, he outlined the case for David and now look what he's doing. I mean, and who he is as a person makes you more proud than the football player he is. But you know, those games were fun with Derek, just seeing him fulfill some of that potential, seeing him handle adversity too, having Paul George here and knowing that he was a special athlete and waiting for everybody else to figure that out. And then still, you knew he was special, but you didn't know he was that special.
Right.
It's been fun to watch guys like that grow up and perform. And the 2013 football season was good, but I'll tell you, Ryan Matthews' junior year, when he led the nation in rushing, and Ryan Colburn, a good friend of mine, is just a guy I think the world of, leading that team at quarterback. And the games they played, if you go back and look at that season, that may have been one of the better Bulldog teams that you forget about because they weren't playing number one USC in the Coliseum and almost beating them, but they played an undefeated Cincinnati team with a great game plan, kept the ball away from them and almost pulled it off. The game they played against Colin Kaepernick in Nevada, who was the IT team that year, I mean, that was a down-to-the-wire game. They had like these close calls, and they were that close. I think back and say, you know, Pat Hill got a lot out of that program and brought some real special young men to Fresno and the Valley.
Yeah, and you can see him all over the NFL. And, you know, really, you turn on the TV any given Sunday, and there's Bulldogs all over the field. So,
or in our community, doing a great job in different industries. And I think that's what Pat takes the most pride in. And just, you know, I'll tell you on a personal note, it's been real satisfying to see Pat Hill come back and be part of the program and really to be recognized and thanked for what he did for this community. And now to see him engaging with Jeff Tedford and trying to return this program to the prominence that everybody wants, I think there's some real positive energy going there. So you asked me about the best moments so far. I think there's probably some real special ones to come, like Monday night at Biden Field at Bennett Stadium. And even last year with dedicating the stadium to Bob Bennett, that was a thrill. Now what we have going with this night to remember on Monday is going to be really, really special.
Yeah, you mentioned Monday night. That's exactly where I'm going next. I know you're a guy, you obviously are passionate about sports. You're passionate about your faith. And you mentioned your passion for veterans, too, and all the things you've done in the Valley with the Central Valley Honor Flight and different programs like that. I don't know if Kevin being a veteran is what helped get you here in the studio today or not. But
he didn't tell me. How long were you in, Kev?
10.5 years in the Navy.
Wow. Thank you for serving. On a ship or what?
Yeah, I was on the Roosevelt. I was stationed in Jacksonville, Iceland for 2 years. I've been around the world and did a lot of time in different places. But
did you hike Flim Flordenall or whatever they call it? All the volcanoes in Iceland?
I actually hiked the glacier and was sorry about it like when we got to the top not to the top, but as far as we can go, we weren't really prepared. So when we looked back and realized we were suffering like early stages of hypothermia, and then we came back down. So I never really got to the top of it, but I did some cool things up in that country. And I want to go back sometime in my life, but that has yet to happen. But I met my wife there, so we want to go back and, you know, kind of relive the memories. It was a good time. I had a lot of good times in.
A lot of people don't know you can climb a glacier when you're in the Navy. I mean, that's not what you expect. But no, honestly, thank you for serving.
No problem.
You know, the all-volunteer military we have now, Eddie, I mean, people, I don't think we realize as much as we should what these people and these families go through. And, you know, to see the people who are in the service now connect with our veterans through Honor Flight and other organizations, it's really powerful. And it reminds us that we can't take our freedom for granted. And with Monday night and the night to remember, it's the same story. I mean, you had 120,000 Japanese Americans on the West Coast. Most of them were born here. They either immigrated here or, for the most part, they're born here. They're citizens. And they lost everything. They lost their property. They lost their homes. They lost their freedom. They're behind barbed wire. Yet so many of them volunteered from the camps once they were allowed to serve our country. And the story of baseball providing hope for people who had lost their freedom is one that Fresno plays such a unique role in. It really wouldn't have happened the way it did without people from right here in Fresno. And that's the heritage that we're celebrating with this night to remember. And the fact that some of those young men went on to be some of the best ball players the Bulldogs have ever had.
Yeah, it's a great story. It's a really neat event that I know you're the perfect person to be in charge of. I always look at you as well as, you know, somewhat of a history buff. I think that's probably fair to say. You know your facts, you know the big picture and how things align, and especially as it relates to the Valley and Fresno and the connections Fresno has to historical occurrences. And on the baseball diamond, weather permitting, this Monday at 6:05 p.m., the Diamond Dogs will host that night to remember, recognizing the 75th anniversary of Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order 9066, which, as you mentioned, forced the Japanese Americans on the West Coast to relocate to internment camps. And the Madden Library at Fresno State is also launching a great exhibit where they'll share photographs and stories and other events from now throughout April for those Japanese American families who were affected. And I've heard more than 500 people are expected at that opening reception on Sunday. So it's going to be a really neat thing to see.
It is. They have such a big crowd. They had to move it to the North Gym 118 so they could fit everybody in there. They won't fit in the library.
Exactly.
And, you know, you were talking earlier about student night at basketball, Eddie, and student athletes. And let's not forget that that's the mission of this university. So you have this incredible exhibit at the library. You can tie it in with athletics and honor these guys who are some of your greatest athletes ever. Howard Zenimura and Fibber Hirayama will both be there Monday night. We're going to do something really cool with the ceremonial first pitch. Nobody knows this yet. So I'll tell you right now, you remember Kent Sakamoto, who played for the Bulldogs? Great first baseman for Mike Batesel. Well, Kent's grandparents met in the Poston internment camp.
Wow.
So he is the Yonsei, the fourth generation Japanese American. We're going to have Fibber Hirayama, who there's going to be a special ceremony and honoring and maybe even a surprise for Fibber there.
The best 5'3" Fresno State athlete of all time, perhaps?
Maybe the best, period. I mean, don't get me started on the things he did. Had a chance to introduce Fibber to the team this week and to see them reacting to some of the stories. And I hope that some of those young men will come over to the library and see this exhibit now that Fibber's told them a little bit. But we're going to have a little relay first pitch from Fibber Hirayama to Kent Sakamoto to home plate, one generation of Japanese American to another, who both were great players for the Bulldogs. And the replica jerseys, I mean, there's a reason to be there Monday night for this night to remember. The jerseys are based on the Fresno Athletic Club, which was started in the 20s by a Japanese immigrant named Kenichi Zenimura. He's the father of Japanese American baseball. And you could make the case he's really the guy who instigated professional baseball in Japan by taking teams of Japanese Americans along with Negro League teams to Japan to play exhibitions. That's what really exposed the Japanese continent to the sport. So Kenichi Zenimura from Fresno has this team. They compete against the best in the world. And they wore these somewhat nondescript wool uniforms that just said Fresno across the front. Those are the uniforms the Bulldogs are wearing Monday night and this night to remember. And the shirts might look a little plain, but wait till you see the pants. And wait till you see Mike Batesel in the short pants that don't go past his knees. That's going to be a sight to see on Monday night. That's going to be a vision to remember on the night to remember.
Yeah, and I saw those jerseys on Twitter yesterday. A couple photos were circulating around. I was hoping we were going to see the pants too, so I'm glad to hear that we will. That'll be, you know, some great symbolism with the first pitch as well, and it's going to be a great all-around game. Now we just need the weather to cooperate. I don't know if you can do anything about that.
It's going to be such a special night, Eddie, and what it means to the community. And really, I mean, I'm not making this up. Fresno is the epicenter of Japanese-American baseball. This is a powerful story that needs to be told. And by telling it through an athletic event that people are paying attention to anyway, it just adds so much power to it. And it gives it multiple generations of exposure and education for people who wouldn't know otherwise. There was a poll a few years ago that said 70% of Americans did not know that Japanese-Americans were held against their will during World War II. Hard to believe.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Something like this educates them, and $5 tickets Monday night for the night to remember. Can't $5 gets you in for a once-in-a-lifetime night.
Can't beat that. And the Fresno State baseball always promises great atmosphere. A couple of the most well-known fans and guys like Inman Perkins and Sugar Bear that are entertaining in themselves to go listen to them and be a part of all the cheers and chants they get going.
And someday you're going to take over for him, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if the voice is quite as booming as Sugar Bear, but we might give it a shot every once in a while.
When the moon hits your eye.
Exactly. But another pride point, you talked about Fresno being very historically relevant when it comes to Japanese baseball. And a lot of people don't know Masanori Murakami, the first major league baseball player who was Japanese born, lived in Fresno, came over to play for the Fresno Giants, and then lived here with the Saiki family while he was making his way to the big leagues. Even that, without the direct Fresno State connection, another Fresno connection to Japanese baseball.
Yeah, and you know, you've seen the pictures of 1927, just weeks after the Yankees win the World Series with maybe the greatest team of all time. Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth are in Fresno playing an exhibition with Kenichi Zenimura and his Fresno Athletic Club. I mean, it's just really hard to believe when you go through all the ripple effects. Singing the national anthem Monday night for the night to remember is going to be the one and only Jack Hanna, another one of Fresno State's greatest athletes ever, just a valley treasure. And in talking to Jack about Fibber and Howard Zenimura, he reminded me he played with those guys. Jack is a Caucasian, a big cowboy. He played with the Nisei team against the Tokyo Giants in two exhibitions. He remembers striking out the great Sadaharu Oh. I mean, these things happened in Fresno.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Do people our age realize this? It's some special history that we have to celebrate.
Definitely. We're glad you're here to spread the message. Fans can read more about it in a little story you wrote on GoBulldogs.com that tells a lot of those facts and figures that people can look forward to. Bulldog baseball season starts this weekend. Make sure to follow at FS Athletics on Twitter to get updates on how the weather might affect any of those start times, or check out the schedule on GoBulldogs.com. But Paul, we really appreciate you being in studio with us today, and we better let you rest that voice for the broadcast you have coming up this weekend. But we hope to have you back soon, and we hope the Red Wave shows out this weekend for baseball and basketball.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks for having me, guys, and go Dogs.
That's all the time we have for today, but remember, student night at 3 p.m. today at the Save Mart Center, Fresno State basketball versus New Mexico. Students get in free, as always. They also get a guest in free. They're trying to break that student section attendance record.
Free tacos,
free a lot of stuff.
Hey, they get excited about a free chicken sandwich. They're going to show up for free tacos, right?
Thanks again to our guests today, the voice of the Bulldogs, Paul Loeffler, being with us. Thanks to you, Kevin, producing the show, always being there to edit, book guests, and do all the things to keep us in line here at KFSR at the Fresno State Sports Report. Thank you all for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSR Sports. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.